The amazing good news of New Year is that God has an amazing plan for us. And we always seek the Lord as a leadership to hear God for a specific word that he wants to speak over the year. And I trust that your heart and my heart too will be wide open to hear what the Spirit is saying over the church this year. And I'm going to just start really right slap bang in a scripture that is really important for us as a local church. Kingdom Faith Southwest started on a word from God. Because you can't start anything in God without a word from God. How many of you know you need to hear God first? You can't even be saved and come to know Jesus without hearing God's word, God's truth about what Jesus has done. And so I'm going to begin in Ezekiel 37. And we're going to just unpack a few things today and make some declarations about what his intention and his desire is for us this year. So Ezekiel chapter 37. Many of you already know this. We won't speak won't share the whole chapter because it's quite long. And it's really about God's supernatural ability to do the impossible. God's supernatural ability. If he's God, then it means he's got power to do things on earth that actually no human can do. And we believe in that God who isn't just a theory, but is a powerful, mighty, loving God who loves to change earth for the benefit of people and loves to bring about some awesome plan for us as his people, for our community. So it's not just about us. And this man, Ezekiel, he basically was in a conversation with God, which is prayer. And God was speaking to him and showing him things. So I'm just going to read verse 1 to 4. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said, this is God speaking, Son of man, that's to a man called Ezekiel, can these bones live? What a question. Imagine being him. God showing you a massive, hopeless, lifeless situation. And you've just seen a sight that is overwhelming. This can happen in your personal life, but it also can happen when disasters strike in places like Australia. There are unimaginable things that happen that produce hopelessness and a loss of life. And God asks a question of this man. Can these bones live? And I think the answer is incredible. Because Ezekiel doesn't start to shout about what God can do. He waits for God to say what God wants to do. So he says, Oh Lord God, you know. So while he believes in the Lord God Almighty, he's basically hanging, waiting until he hears something before he knows what's going to happen. And he waits and listens. And then God says, Right, I'm going to speak and I want you to prophesy to these bones. And they go on this journey kind of together, partnership, where God says, say this. Ezekiel says that, what God told him to say. And then the next stage is God says, say this. And then Ezekiel does exactly what God says. And in verse 7 it says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And so I love this picture that it's partnership with God and man. God is partnering up with someone who's listening and someone who is going to just speak what God is saying into the situation. He's not going to imagine it or guess it. It's not guesswork. It's not guesswork about what God's going to do. God spoke to Ezekiel and it was real to him. God was speaking and he was speaking. And as he spoke, the things began to change. Fragmented bones started to come together. Life started to come. And this is a lesson, I suppose we could say, in the Word of God of how life works God's way. You see, when you become a Christian, the way life works is different to the way it used to work before you were a Christian. You used to do things because you saw things happening. You reacted and responded to circumstances. But now, God's ways, which are superior and more powerful than anything going on earth, is that if I say something to you and you speak it, it's going to happen. Now that's a different way of life, isn't it? Hearing God, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word, but it comes from hearing, not just quoting, hearing the word. And in the hearing, it becomes what we call prophetic. And we are actually saying exactly what God is saying to a hopeless situation. And that hopeless situation has to change because God's in it. God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so Ezekiel said, I prophesied, I just said what God told me to say. And this valley of nothing, dry bones, became an exceedingly great army, which is the foundational word of everything that God has built and is building here in this church. See, Jesus lived this. And we have to understand that Jesus is the model for our lives and how life works. In John chapter 12, can I have the scripture please? He said, the humility of Jesus. I haven't spoken of my own authority. Now this is the word. Jesus was called the word of God. And through him, the whole worlds were created. God said light and light came. So this is Jesus, the Word, who became flesh. He became human and dwelt among us, the Son of God. He said, I don't speak whatever I think. I wait because the Father, he gives me the command that I should say and speak this. What I should say and what I should speak. Do you not think that's incredible? That the Father, God, spoke to Jesus first, then whatever he said happened. So Jesus didn't go around initiating the works or the words. Even though he knew all scripture, because he was the author of it. And we uphold the word above all things, and every word is from God in scripture. But Jesus waited till he heard what the Father was saying before he said it. And so, when he rebuked the storm stood still. It stopped. The waves became quiet. When he spoke to Lazarus, he came out. When he spoke into people's lives, like the centurion's servant, your servant is well. He was healed at that moment. But Jesus was hearing what God the Father was saying. So we can see that Jesus was training and teaching his followers, this is how life works, by hearing and speaking what I'm saying. And if we want to see the partnership with God in what he is doing in our lives and wants to write in this book this year, his story, it will come out of hearing and speaking what God is saying. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and everything, heaven's solutions, started to change earth's problems. Do you want to change a few problems this year? Well, it's time to understand that if we speak what God is going to say to us this year, there's going to be a change. And the word of the Lord for the year is coming out of this understanding. 2020. Yes, we were there. She rushed, but it was good. Prophesy the promise. Turn back the tide. Have you ever thought of the tide? You can't stop a tide coming in, can you, naturally? You can't stop the impossibility of something happening. Tides in the country, tides of deception, tides of problems coming in. Scripture says that we can prophesy, we can speak to mountains and they move. We can speak change and the impossible situations facing us will turn around and be different because we're speaking what God is giving us to say. Prophesy the promise and turn back the tide. That's Croyd Beach, by the way, over Christmas. Isn't it cracker? But actually, if you think about any personal issue, anything that you feel is overwhelming, or we face as a church as we're ministering to people who've got a tidal wave of problems coming in, God says, you listen to me. Say what I am saying. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that tide will turn. And that problem will reverse. And you will see God work miracles like you've never seen. Because you're understanding the ways that life works with God. Tide turners are those who know what God is saying and speak it. Tide turners. Ezekiel was a tide turner. He was a nation changer. And we are all called. You say, how can I change a nation? How can I make a difference? Well, when you become a Christian, Christ lives in you, which means the possibilities are the same as what Jesus did. Jesus said, the same works as me and greater still you will do. Why? Because he lives in you. And because he lives in you and you speak what he is saying, then that situation or those circumstances will reverse and blessing and healing and life and favor and promises upon promises will come to pass because you are speaking what God says into that situation. Amen. This is the victory, actually, of the church. And this is something God wants to restore in your life and in mine. That we have a confidence and a faith that when we hear God and say what God is saying through his word and spirit, not just word, word and Holy Spirit, spirit-given word. Just like Jesus, he waited till he was told what to say. Then we will see God fulfill every word he has spoken. What exciting word. Prophesy the promise. Turn back the tide. Tell somebody next to you, if you want to, if you want to, I want to do this. I want to do this for God. Some of you might be saying, I need to do this. And all of us will be saying, we need to do it for our nation. Hello? And it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. This mountain of issues going on in our country, godlessness, God has given us the ability to change things in this nation. Christ in us, the ability and the word spoken, and no word will return empty, but every word will accomplish what it has been sent to do. How amazing this word is. Now we will unpack understanding of this, bring faith in the series of teaching we're going to do, but I'm going to begin with really the beginning of everything, which is relationship. Because Ezekiel was in prayer, he was talking to God and God was talking to him. I call that a relationship. Do you call that simply a relationship? God was talking to Ezekiel was talking to God. Oh, you know, Lord. Like, I mean, I'd love to say that to the Lord. I might try it tomorrow. If you ask me a question, can this happen? No. Well, I know what's written in the scripture, but what was it you're saying? Only you know. And it's out of this relationship. And I just want to talk about prophesying the promise. It really has its roots in your relationship with God. Because it comes from hearing his voice. My sheep hear my voice. So there's a confidence that everyone who belongs to Jesus hears him. God promises that you will hear his voice. His voice really is simple. It's his word. You will always find whatever God says confirmed or from the word. And the Holy Spirit in you will always remind you of the things that Jesus, the word, has said. Okay? But it's what the Spirit is giving you that you speak. There have been so many situations when I'm ministering to someone or ministering into an impossible situation where I have spoken because God's given me something. And as soon as I say that, I know that's going to work. Whereas if I have to do this, let's Google trouble. Now, there's a time when you don't really know the word that you do need to Google it. Read and read and read it until you know that God's saying it to you. And we can teach you that, okay? We want to train and equip you to hear God clearly. Okay, so when you first begin your journey, you need other people to help you. But the more you grow with God, the more that you recognize his voice. And Jesus says, my sheep recognize my voice and they follow me. And so hearing God, the relationship you have personally with God, is key to the effectiveness of being a tide turner. Not a scripture quoter. Although I'm great at that, I love that, confessing the word. I love that, I'll do it all day long because I know it's good for me and it changes me. But I want to turn tides and be like Jesus in ministry and life. Yeah. Say only what he is saying. Okay? So you understand that it's out of this wonderful call that we have to be in relationship with Jesus. God has brought us near in Christ. That through the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are now one in spirit with the Lord. You don't have to do anything to be one with God. Jesus has already done it. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. So there's no work to be in relationship. But if you are married, you know that marriage needs work. In other words, you need to relate. Anybody? If you've got any kind of relationship with anybody, you know it's because you relate. Rocket science. It's not rocket science, is it? And so God's called us into relationship. But actually, we get to choose how far we will go in that relationship. God has opened the door wide open to all. But we get to choose what kind of relationship we want with God. Ah, tumbleweed. Or joy. Because you can choose an amazing relationship with God. Now, I'm going to just talk about relationship and just for a little bit in a way that I think we all understand. And that's the way that Jesus taught it, but it's the way that actually you and I live our lives. And it's John chapter 15. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses about relationship. And Jesus is, this is one of the wonderful scriptures, teaching that he brought before he went to the cross. And he was basically speaking to the 11 disciples. Not the 12, because Judas had left. He had betrayed Jesus and he'd gone. So this is the teaching coming to the 11 real followers. I think this is interesting, the time that Jesus chose to speak. And these 11 had begun a journey 3 years or so before and had followed Jesus through thick and thin, through good times and bad, which is why they were there for the teaching. They were there because they were still with Jesus, together, a bit like this morning. We're together following Jesus. Us, we're followers of Jesus Christ. This is who we are, and we've come to listen to him speak to us. And he's already told us what he wants for us to do. But now I believe there's some key in relationship that he's going to unveil to all of us in a new way. And in verse 14, after speaking about love, love one another as I've loved you. I've loved you perfectly, but love each other. This is my new commandment. And then in verse 15, he said, 14, you are my friends. Emphasis, friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, isn't that strange? You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. You see, friends for us, we don't go around bossing. No. You won't have many friends if you're a bossy person. Do you understand? Does anybody have a friend who's really bossy? Doesn't go too well. But this is because this friendship with God is not on equal footing. He's God. Right. Like if I was a friend of the Queen, I'd be a little bit, yes, Your Majesty, thanks for inviting me for breakfast, because I'd be a friend if it was breakfast. But it was, she would still be Your Majesty, and he's still His Majesty. Okay, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. And the next thing he says, there's going to be a change in their relationship with this. These 11 disciples are going to experience a new season of relationship with Jesus. It was already good, wasn't it? But they were coming into something greater. I want to tell you, if you stick with Jesus and do what he says, there are greater things ahead for you to do. And so the 11 that were there, Jesus says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus says, I'm no longer just saying you're my servants. Go do this, do that. But I've called you friends. Now, I want to say something really important. This doesn't disqualify you being a servant. We will always be servants of God. And if you stop being a servant, you'll stop being in a place to hear God. Yeah. Because servants continue to hear God, but friends start hearing different things, don't they? And Jesus was saying to these guys, for me, it was the greatest honor and privilege they could hear. Listen, you're my friends, providing you continue to serve. Do what I say. Continue to obey me. I will keep calling you a friend. So that's how to keep on your friendship with God. You keep doing what he says. But I want to understand that our relationship is to be more of a friendship. I want to relate to you in a way a good friend can sit down, have a cup of coffee, and share their heart. Do you not think this is a wide open door to hearing God tell you things that only friends would share? Friends actually know what their friend is thinking, saying, feeling, and doing. And God does have feelings. He is grieved with sin. He's angry with certain things. He's joyful. He experiences sadness. Jesus wept. So God himself has feelings and he has information that he shares with these 11 who are suddenly having what I would call a relational upgrade. Do you not think servants to friends is a relational upgrade? I cannot say if I am a friend of God. If God would call me his friend, I would like to be able to say it. You understand? But only God could call me that. Yes. Do you understand? It's not me saying, I actually sow into my friendship with God. I want friendship with God. That's my side. But I would hope that I'm not just his servant. I would love to be called his friend. And maybe, just maybe, this year is a year where my goal is to be so in with him that I know what he is saying and I prophesy every promise that he gives me to speak, and every tide will be turned for his glory so that he will be seen and heard to be God. You are my friends. Friend doesn't know what, a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. It just gets told. But friends are in the know. And servants move to friends. That's a relational upgrade. And I want to speak this over us as a church. I think we're coming into a season of relational upgrade. But God's calling us to a new season of being closer and closer to Jesus. So that we are so sensitive to what he is saying. We know what he is saying. The Spirit giving us his word. So that we can speak and it will come to pass. But can you see it's all coming out? Friendship with God. There is a lot of benefit when you're first saved and you don't know much about God, is that you just start to learn to speak the word and God will fulfill every word. And it doesn't mean to say that I can't pick a scripture out and declare it, because all God's word has power. But there is something that God backs for an army to be raised. There has to be a listening people. Someone who will prophesy as God commands. Just like Jesus, the Father gives me the command and I say what he tells me to say. We're living under the greatest friend of all. He is the greatest friend. What a friend that we have in Jesus, whatever. Whether we choose friendship or not, that's down to me and to you. It's your choice and my choice. Will I walk with him in obedience to him so that he can call me his friend? Now, I was kind of like, okay, this is rather a lot, Lord, for the first Sunday back. But I think I sense that God wants to whet your appetite and kind of give you a desire to be God's friend. Rather than tell you what you should be, but actually give you a real heart motivation. I really want that. Like some people might start the year to say, I want to be a great golf player. I want to be this year. I want to be thinner, that's true. After all the cheese. It's true. I love cheese. Cheese doesn't love me. But my greatest goal, I want to be his friend. And out of that, he's got my ear. He's got my ear. I'm listening. And I'm also talking, because friends talk. I talk to him, he talks to me. It's a prayer life. Jesus says you go to the secret place to pray to your Father. You'll be rewarded. Friends get rewards. It's a relational upgrade. So I'm going to kind of speak about friendship with God a little bit. And then we're just going to pray together. But I trust this is going to blow the cogs out, the cobwebs away, move everything in you so that your heart says, I want to be a friend of God. I want to walk with Jesus differently in a closer relationship with him this year. And I was asking this question, what does this look like? Well, Abraham was called God's friend, apart from the 11 disciples. In James chapter 2, Abraham was asked to do something that would have been difficult to obey. Abraham had received Isaac as the son of promise. Supernaturally, God had provided what he said he was going to do. And God tested Abraham. Will you be willing to give up what I gave you for me? In other words, will you keep me first, or are you going to love the promise so much that you've got what you wanted, and now it's see you laters? It's a test, isn't it, where things and people can actually become almost like an idol. And God called Abraham to sacrifice, to be willing to give up the very thing he'd spent 25 years believing God for. That's quite exceptional to be asked to give up your Isaac. It's the biggest test. And Abraham passed the test. And in James chapter 2, we read, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God because a friend is a faith friend. This is a faith relationship. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. God says, Abraham's my friend. Now, I'm proud of the friends I really have. Because I know them and love them. And I'm proud to say, they're my friends. I'm not a wannabe on social media. I'm a friend of someone famous just because I'm connected online. This is real. I'm a real friend. And I'm proud to be called friends of certain people. But for God to say about Abraham, he's my friend, I'm calling him my friend, I think we could look at the life of Abraham a little bit. not very much this morning because it's a big subject, and say, what does that look like? It means that God can trust Abraham with whatever he says, and Abraham will walk with God through whatever he asks, do what God says, and just be loyal. Just be faithful. God trusted Abraham. We're all called to trust God. You know, our faith is to be in him, to hear his voice, to have faith so that we can trust him for certain things. But it's another thing for God to say, I trust them. Isn't it? He loves us. That's a given. He will never love you more than he loves you now. More than the love he's already shown through dying for you on the cross. But trust you, well, trust is proven. Isn't it? Trust is, can I trust you with this? Yeah. Okay, you've been found faithful with that. What about this? Okay, now I know I can trust you like that. What about this? Oh, can I give you a secret? Will you keep it? Yeah, I can trust you. Or can I trust you with my life? So there are levels of trust. And we earn trust, don't we, with someone in a relationship. It's like you're a fool if you commit fully to 100% relationship overnight. I'm not calling you a fool, but I'm just saying. Because you need to know who you're committing to. And God knew he could commit things to Abraham that were so important for his plan, even for our lives. Abraham believed and knew things and believed them so that we could be here today. He was a loyal, faithful friend of God. You know, salvation is a bit like getting on an ocean liner with the captain Jesus at the helm. You've made him your Lord and Savior, and he's going to take you to heaven, to the shore, trusting him, and you'll land in heaven through faith in Jesus. And your journey is with him on this ocean liner. But you can start life on the lower deck. You can even go through the journey as a stowaway. Or you can be friend of the captain. You can say, I'm going to prove myself that I can be a good friend. Is this working for you today? And so that more and more he lets me in to what he's doing. I get to listen to his plans. The ones on the lower deck, they're not hearing what I'm hearing because they're not friends. And I've proven in my walk with Jesus that he can trust me. That's where I believe the vision that Jesus has for you this year, he wants you to go. That your goal is to be sitting, eating, drinking, talking, hearing the voice of the captain. And he can use you to partner with him to change the world. Turning the tide through prophesying what he gives us to say. Does God need a friend? Don't know how big your God is, but mine's quite big. God of Scripture, he's awesome. True God, he's amazing. Does God need a friend? Well, I do. I know that through trials and troubles, I wouldn't be here today without my friends. People who've stood with me, walked with me, prayed for me, upheld me, basically. I'm only here today because others helped me to get here. But does God need that? Well, no. He doesn't. He's the all-sufficient God, right? So in other words, he is complete in himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are complete. So they have no needs. Okay, so he's not saying, oh, I need you, please be my friend. Okay, he's going, come on, I want you as my friend. It's different, yeah? God wants you as his friend. Servants become friends. People who obey can be trusted with friendship. And God, though he doesn't need friends, he actually wants them. He wants to be able to say to you about people at work, say this over them, lift their lives by telling them what I think about them. He wants you to speak into a situation in the hospital which is at the end of the road, and God gives you a word, and that life changes because you hear God and say something. He wants you to speak a word of life to someone's life is so broken, only God can fix it. But when you say something, he will heal the broken hearted. He wants you to preach good news to the poor. And because you're his friend, you know exactly what to say to those who are so down that they need Jesus more than anything. Being the solution, the tide turners, comes with friendship. Those who hear what God is saying. Abraham, you know, his friendship was proven over time. He was called out, Genesis 12. He was called out of his own country, out of his father's house. He had to leave his dad. He had to leave his parents. He had to leave his family. And he had to go to a place he didn't know about. But God said, look, if you obey me, if you come, follow me, I promise certain things. I will bless you. And you will be a blessing. I'm going to bring my plan of salvation through you if you obey me. So you know what Abraham did? He didn't just pray a prayer, you know, oh, brilliant, God wants to bless me. He had to leave to be blessed and follow Jesus. He had to follow the voice. He had to follow the voice. My sheep hear my voice, and he had to follow. And he left behind, and God began to train him and test him in a relationship that he couldn't see God, but he heard his voice. And when God's word came to him, he had faith. Oh, God's going to bless me, so I'll go. He had a confidence. Brilliant. Laters. It's the only way for me, following Jesus. I can't stay. I can't stay. I'm an obedient servant. Can you see? He was a servant first. He was a servant right through to when God said, sacrifice your only son. He left the next morning early. He wasn't one of these delayed obedience people that says, oh, God, someday I'll do it, but not now. I'm too comfy. He was like, right, God said it. I'm going to do it. Wasn't an emotional thing. It was a he's God thing. I'm a follower of God. Jesus is God. He's Lord. So I'm not just here to say, well, let's talk about this. I don't think that's a good idea, sacrificing Isaac. I actually feel you've got it wrong, Lord. He was like, whatever, yes, sir. Okay, boss. You're my friend, but you're my boss. But I know you're good. And I know you're able to raise, because I know your promises through Isaac. So whatever happens there, it's going to come good. because I'm a believer in the goodness of God. Even when he asked me to give up something, I believe God's good. But I'm an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. And so Abram walked with God through the years and was called God's friend. So what's a friend like? We know when we understand certain things. But friendship with God is two-way. Not Sundays. I mean, I've got some great friends here. I've got people, you know, here who we've walked together for years. I would consider, you know, there are different levels of friends, aren't there? And I've got some really close friends in the room. We've gone the distance. I'm not once a week saying, got to give him a call. I've got to go to church, worship God, hear God, and go home. And then Monday morning, back to work. A relationship is different to Sunday kind of thinking, isn't it? It's a walk with God. You're called to a walk, hearing him, living out of relationship with God. And so a friend spends time together. It's two-way. You know, Abraham would often be visited by God. Once Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all showed up. Abraham was sitting in his tent. It was a wake-up call. God showed up. I mean, really? Phenomenal. So God loved to visit Abraham. I want God to love to visit me. Does anybody want that? I want God love to be with me. I know he loves me. He loves me even when I'm not good. It's okay, let's get all over that stuff, but let's move on into friendship with God, which is slightly more powerful than just being forgiven, coming back, being forgiven, coming back, being forgiven, coming back, being friend. He loves being with me. So Abraham had visits from God, but God, you know, sorry, Abraham, he'd go out to the place where there was an altar, he'd made an altar, and he'd go and stand before the Lord, like, he drew near to God. God drew near to him. He drew near to God. God drew near to him. He drew near to God. God drew, let's do it all year. He drew near to God. God drew near to him. And you know what? They said to one another, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, shall we keep, withhold from Abraham what we're going to do? Well, we can't. He's our friend. Abraham. You know, Sodom, Gomorrah, about to destroy it. What do you think? What do you think about it? Well, not you, Lord. I know you better than that. You're merciful. What if there were 10 righteous? Bargaining. Yeah. Yeah. I can bargain. In our friendship. And God listened to Abraham. Because he knew what God was going to do. And he brought, not you, Lord, not for your name and your honor. The world needs to know you're a merciful God, because that's really the heart of God, is mercy. Mercy always triumphs over judgment. And he had a man who would intercede, stand in the gap, because he knew God's heart. Because when you walk with somebody closely, you get to know what they're like. You don't just know the word, you know the spirit of the person, the heart of the person. And God's heart is always to have mercy. Jesus looked out the crowds with compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what he has going on the inside of you and me. He is the good shepherd who looks out from your heart into the harvest fields, and he says, look, the harvest is ripe, the workers are few, will you be my friend and go? Abraham knew that in Isaac and through his descendants all nations would be blessed. This is going to blow your mind. Do you know what Jesus said about Abraham, his friend? Read it in scripture. I haven't got the reference. Don't care. Abram saw my day and rejoiced. God shared with him that he would become man. Thousands of years before, was it? I don't know, I'm not good with numbers. Long time before. Abraham saw my day, Jesus said, and rejoiced. God shared with Abraham that Jesus was coming and that he would die. And God revealed to Abraham things that no man... Isaac wasn't called God's friend. Jacob wasn't called God's friend. They inherited the blessing. But Abraham was a monumental man. Have we got monumental men here this morning? Monumental women. There's a call going out in the Spirit. To know things, speak things, and turn the tide even of generations. That's friendship. You're in the know. You've got inside information. I can tell you secrets, I won't. But I know things you don't know about the friends that I have. And you shouldn't know, because there's a circle of trust. Circle of trust, you have it. Do you not? Those who you can trust and divulge information with. And Jesus knew that Abraham wouldn't just listen. He would go and do what God told him to do. Ah! We're going for a relational upgrade. Do you want this? I hope your goal is a relational upgrade to prophesy what God is saying, the promise, and to see the tide turned. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that this is an invitation he has for all of us? That he doesn't exclude us, but our choices determine how close we get. How we respond to him. Do I really choose a relationship with God this year? Do I really choose to be up close and personal? Is it really going to be my choice, or is it something that I talk about but never do anything about? And I, for one, need the grace of God to help me, the Holy Spirit's power, but that's what my goal is. Friends, trust each other, yeah? You don't have a good friend, do you, if you can't trust them? And I hope there are many faith friends. And I have friends that I can trust. And God trusted Abraham, you know. For parents among us here and for disciples as well. We're a family. Family of God. We're to make disciples. But also there are fathers and mothers here. Do you know what God said about Abraham? You can read it in Genesis 18. He said... I can trust Abraham to do as I command and raise his family in my ways. Sorry, gobsmacked. Yeah. I can trust Abraham that his kids will be commanded in the same way as I've commanded him to live. So in other words, your kids are going to walk with God. Because of your choices. Because of your obedience to God, your kids will follow. And some of you here as mums or dads whose partners aren't following the Lord, let me tell you, God will honor your choices. And as you show your children what a life of a servant of God looks like, a true disciple of Jesus, not one who occasionally pops in to say hello, but one who walks with God in sacrifice and surrender and obedience and joy, then God will say, I can trust them. They've proven that they'll raise their family for me. Do you not think that's amazing to say that God would call friendship with him in the outworking of the next generation? And may we be found as a church trustworthy with new believers so that the babies will grow up in the way of the Lord. So that we're actively involved in people's lives to help them to be real followers of Jesus, not according to their own imagination and their own lifestyle, but according to the ways of God. The will of God is found in his word. Disciples of truth. Disciples who are following Jesus and making disciples of others. Abraham trusted God, and this is where he's most famous, really. He was unwavering at the promise. I've nearly finished. It's probably been a bit long this morning. I feel I've been living with this for a long time, so I trust you're receiving and being drawn to the Lord most of all and the vision he has to turn tides this year. Abraham was a man of faith. He trusted God. And he did not waver at the promise. Now we know all the promises of God are yes and amen in Scripture. Don't we? And they're all ours in Christ Jesus. But Abraham didn't just know them. He believed that what God said would happen. And like God, he called things that are not as though they were. He spoke when everything looked impossible. He called himself Father of Nations. Every time he spoke his name, he would say, Father of Nations, I'm Abraham, father of a multitude. When there wasn't even one. 25 years he did that. Sarah called his wife what God said to call her. And in the calling things that are not as though they were, the impossibilities of earth became a reality of heaven's ability. I know you know we're a people of the Word and the Spirit. That's the whole message. Word and Spirit. But when you distrust someone's word, it kills friendship. Can I say that again? When you distrust God's word, you can't be a friend of God. Because you can only be friends based on, will they keep their word? And if you think God can lie, then you can't be his friend. You can be saved, but friendship is reserved for those who are proven. And Abraham had proven that God is faithful, that God keeps his promises, and that my friendship with him is based on his character, unfailing. His love, unending. His ability to and one willingness to bless, unchanging. But his promise, he's going to keep it. And no word that God says is ever, ever going to be distrusted by me. Can you say that? Am I going to trust what God says in spite of everything I've seen or will see? Let God be true and every man a liar, because God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie, and nothing in this Bible, your Bible, is a lie. This is the truth. And we trust him, and therefore we trust his word, his promises. And you, like me, I still haven't seen what God said. But I'm going to do what he says to me to do, prophesy it, prophesy the promise. And it will change. Amen. Amen. Everything will change. Amen. God will do it because he is faithful. Yes. And Abraham was unwavering in this friendship. Yes. Oh, God, you never lie. In his times with God, you've said it, Lord, I trust you. You'll do it. I'll just speak it. I'll just say it. I'm not going to lose heart, especially when I look at Sarah. That old bird. Not looking lightly. But you have the words of eternal life. I'm not going to anybody else's word on it. I don't need Google. I don't need somebody's theory. I just need a word from God. And I'm going to keep speaking it and keep talking to you about it. Because thank you, Lord, what you've said is definitely going to happen. Yes. Yes. And God's going to fill you with so many promises this year if you'll listen. And if you will continue to obey him, he'll call you into more and more information. Yes. Yes. And more miracles. Come on. You'll see much more happen. Yes. Yes. Because you'll be speaking out of having heard what the Spirit is saying to you. Well, tide turners, do we have a church of tide turners here? Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know you've had too much cheese like me. And the first Sunday back is an important Sunday for us. And you know, the flesh always just wants it to happen quickly. In the best way that I can, I trust the Holy Spirit's work to entice you into friendship with God. Not to tell you, but entice. So let's just come to him. He's here. We've already said, be Lord, be our master this year. And Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I ask you to do. And right at the beginning of this year, is there anything he has commanded you to do and you haven't done it? The good thing about the Lord is he's always forgiving. You can make the changes today. You can put right what isn't right with him. And you can say, Lord, I'm going to get on and do what you've asked me to do in that situation. If that's you, in your own heart, say, Lord, I want to be your friend, and therefore I want to be a servant, someone who hears what you're doing, what you're saying, and do it. Lord, that's me too. We stand before you, our God, our King. This isn't for show, Lord. It's not for a meeting, it's for a life. And thank you, Lord, for all the faithful who are here this morning. For those who have walked through the fire. Those who've gone through so much trouble. Those who've suffered loss. Thank you that they are here with you in this place, hearing your word. And thank you, Lord, that you call a new season into being. Yes. Amen. You call it a season of friendship. Yes. Lord, that rejoices my heart to think that we are in a relationship with you. Not just being told what to do, but hearing before and partnering with you. Just as Jesus did, to speak what you command us to say. And Lord, I pray that this would be worked out for real in our weeks and our days. That rather than saying we don't have time to pray, we fit everything round our relationship with you rather than the other way around. I pray that other things would just move out of the way in preference to having time with the captain of this ship. We want to sit with you, eat with you, talk to you, hear your voice this year. I want this more than anything. And Lord, if as your servants you would also call us friends, it would be the highest honor that any of us could have. Our goal is friendship, but I pray you will find faithful, obedient servants here that will be called into a new dimension of relationship with you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.